Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
David Hawkins, what a pleasure to have you back. We all know that as editor of Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call and author of the Hawkins Here blog and column, you're big stuff, and we are incredibly grateful for your participation. So thanks for doing it.
I'm happy to be back on. It's been a long time.
You know more about Congress than anybody I know, and here we are in the Congressional Corner. And how about the shock resignation? What do you make of that? And give us the background.
So shock is Aaron Schock. Came to Congress 6 years ago, and as the youngest member of Congress, he was only, I think, 27 at the time, but sort of young man in a hurry, Republican from Peoria, Illinois. And he quickly established a reputation in Washington as somebody who was sort of more, as they used to say when I lived in Texas, more hat and not a lot of saddle. In other words, a lot of flash, a lot of fundraising prowess, not a lot of substance. But that flash over substance quickly got out of control about 2 months ago with a seemingly innocuous story in the Washington Post where what they call the style writers for the Washington Post, the sort of arts and society and culture, stopped by the guy's office and saw that it had a bright red coat of paint in the lobby and walked in. And it just so happened that Mr. Schock's interior designer was in the office just finishing up a over-the-top redecoration of the congressman's office to look like an Edwardian-era drawing room like it was out of Downton Abbey. Big, big gilt frames, lipstick red paint, pheasant feathers in big vases in the corner, lots of gilt eagles, pretty over-the-top for a congressional office. And as it turns out, you know, the taxpayers, well, on the one hand, the taxpayers paid for some of it, which is legal but of questionable decision-making. And on the other hand, the services of the interior designer were for free, which is not allowed, actually. You can't take free services when you're a member of Congress. Anyway, this quickly went downhill. It turns out that Mr. Schock may have been playing fast and loose with the expense rules all over the place. Had a personal photographer trailing him around, may have exaggerated the mileage on his car. Drip, drip, drip. It was one of those deals where he went from a curiosity in Congress to a former member of Congress in about 3 weeks, and he resigned last week.
Do we think we have the whole story, or that there might be something else going on at play here? Because one of the things I was struck by is how quickly the Republican leadership accepted that resignation.
True. Well, he... As a matter of fact, he didn't even tell the Republican leadership that he was planning on resigning on the day he resigned. And you're right, the Republican leadership damned him with non-existent praise. They essentially said, okay, well, that's probably a smart decision, and goodbye.
You know, David, you've been around a long time. You're the smartest guy about Congress I know. And it raises a number of questions. Anthony Weiner sex pictures of his junk, as we say. This guy does this. As the great folk singer Christine Lavin once wrote a song, what could he have been thinking? I mean, you know, what's with these people?
Right, and I didn't even get, you know, the half of it, right? He didn't quite show his junk, Mr. Schock, but yeah. He did pose with his shirt unbuttoned on the cover of Men's Health magazine, you know, and so on. So... Right. What could he have been thinking? Clearly a guy who was pleased to show off through some of the legendary parties on the Hill. Actually, was a big, prolific fundraiser, but also had big parties for staffers and other members of Congress. And just, right, you sort of assume, or at least I always assume, and I've said this about people and gotten laughed at it, like Dan Quayle, you don't get to be a member of the United States Senate or even a member of Congress without having something on the ball. So it seems crazy that somebody who was able to get to Congress at 27 would be gone before he was 33 because of such goofy behavior.
Not that there's any parallelism here, but talking about people who are gone, Barbara Mikulski has now announced her retirement. Now, you know, she served with great distinction, but when somebody goes in the United States Senate, there is a mourning because incumbents generally have a better chance of getting reelected than when you have to start all over again.
That's right. Now Barbara Mikulski, she'd been a senator since 1986. She got elected in 1986, so she will be leaving the Senate after 30 years representing Maryland. She was in the House for 10 years before that. All of that service combined means she's the longest serving woman in Congress in American history to date. She's from Baltimore, and the Maryland Democrats will have no trouble holding that seat in the Senate. Maryland is a reliably blue state, especially in presidential years, but they may have a very, very competitive primary, two, maybe three senior members of Congress may be running for that seat. But yes, there is some mourning for Barbara Mikulski. She was an acquired taste to many. She was one of the toughest bosses on the Hill, pretty combative, feisty, difficult to work with, to many. But at the same time, people said that if you lived up to her high standards, there was no more loyal boss. And members of the Republican and Democratic parties said some of the same thing. No more so than the other women in the Senate, who came to view her as not just a role model, but actually something of a team leader. She, Barbara Mikulski, a fierce partisan Democrat, nonetheless thought it was very important for the women to stick together, and she organized monthly, totally off-the-record dinners for all the growing numbers of women senators that kept building and building and building over her time in the Senate, Republicans and Democrats alike, and she would serve as their sort of mentor, help them get along in the Senate, help them figure out their priorities. So probably her role in the Senate, you know, will be remembered as exceeding that of just somebody who stuck around long enough to be the longest-serving woman ever in Congress.
We only have 2.5 minutes, but David Hawkins, let me say that it is a very tough job, isn't it? I mean, you gotta, if you're doing it right, that's a draining job being a senator.
It is, you know. I think that is true, and I'm glad to hear you say that because most people think it's a cushy job. Most people, they hear talk of the congressional calendar of, you know, Congress is working for a few weeks and then, quote, in recess for a few weeks. It's a little bit of a misnomer. Many members of Congress, I mean, virtually all members of Congress, spend that so-called recess time back in their states, back in their districts, having endless meetings with constituents, touring businesses, you know, big employers, to be sure, doing political work, raising a lot of money. The commuting is a drag. I mean, it is a logistically, even if it might not be intellectually draining these days because gridlock isn't all that taxing on your brain, it is logistically draining to have to do what you want to do for your constituents, get back to Washington, suffer the brickbats there. It's, it's tiring.
David Hawkins is editor of Congressional Quarterly Roll Call, a very distinguished offering, and author of the Hawkins Here blog and column, covered Congress in various positions at CQ since 1995. David, thank you so much. When we come back the next time, let's talk Hillary.
Let's indeed.